Acts chapter 4, please. We just want to read some verses from here. Acts 4. I want to break into the chapter the words of verse 23. Acts 4 and verse 23. And we take up the passage where Peter and John have been released from the authorities. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And thou, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possesseth was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Amen. Ending our reading at verse 33. We know the Lord will add his own blessing upon it. There's often the confession heard, we cannot pray as we ought. It's something that the disciples of old must also have felt as they sought that the Lord might teach them to pray. And we are thankful that the Lord has given us all the needed instruction in his precious word. There are copious prayer meetings that are recorded for us. Not just that we might have some historical record, but also that we might learn something of the praying of God's saints from the early church. The larger catechism asks the question, what is prayer? Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God in the name of Christ by the help of his Spirit with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. For what things are we to pray for? We are to pray for all things tending to the glory of God, the welfare of the church, our own or others' good, but not for anything that is unlawful. Those are good answers and very enlightening. And when we come to Acts 4, we're brought to such a prayer meeting that occurred after the healing of the lame man. You know, of course, from chapter 3, the lame man that was healed outside the temple, and the preaching of the apostles that followed his healing, it didn't suit the authorities or the religious hierarchy of that day. It grieved them that they taught the people. And so they arrested Peter and John, and after being questioned and with the power of God clearly to be seen in the healing of this man, they were let go with a charge not to preach in the name of the Lord Jesus. You look at verse 18 of this chapter and you'll see it. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. They were forbidden to preach of Christ. They were forbidden to speak of his death and resurrection. The very commission that the Lord had left with them was now something that the human authorities forbid them to carry out. What were they to do? Well, we read tonight that they, verse 23, being let go, they went to their own company. You see, God's people always go to their own company. God's people don't go back to the world. And here they go to the disciples. They go to the church to relate to them the events that had happened. And it was then, having heard the report, that the church convened a good prayer meeting. What sort of prayer meeting was it? Well, I think verse 31 gives us a good idea. It says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. I just want us to come into this prayer meeting tonight and to take a wee look at some things that we might learn from this passage. You'll notice, first of all, their petition. Like as in other scriptures, the content of their praying is recorded in the previous verses. You come back to verse 24. It says, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. They're still in one accord. We read that in chapter 1, verse 14. They were in one accord in the upper room. We read it in chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. They were in one accord. It means they were in one mind. And they're still in one accord. But you look at what they said. They lifted up their voice, being in one accord. Lord, Thou art God. The focus primarily of their praying is all in the Lord. Lord, Thou art God. What time we could spend just thinking upon that great truth. Thy people are being persecuted and imprisoned. But Lord, Thou art God. False religion is on the increase. But Lord, Thou art God. Sin is abounding, but Thou art God. Seemingly hard hearts are in our meetings. But Lord, Thou art God. God is able by His power to overcome what seems to be the greatest of difficulties. These are words which we could press over our problems and our trials and our difficulties. Lord, Thou art God. You see, their focus is on the God of heaven and on His great power, for they speak in verse 24 of that creative power. Lord, Thou art God which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. But you'll notice their petition is also in the fact that the scriptures are God-breathed. Verse 25, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said. They're going back to their Old Testament scriptures. They're going back to the Psalms. And they're going to quote it. Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? They were a people who believed in the authority of the scriptures. And they're praying the scriptures back to the Lord. But their petition is also focused upon the Lord Jesus. Verse 26, the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. The rulers, the very kings, were against Him. But through it all, here were a people of God who could see the sovereign plan of God in it all. There God was in control. He had planned it all, and all the things were worked out according to that plan. Verse 28, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. They thought they were in charge. They thought that they were in control. But of course, the people of God know here that it's not the case. They were merely doing what the Lord had determined before what was to be done. You see, the word determined before, that little phrase, it gives us the idea that which was ordained in eternity past, that which was foreordained by God. How problems and trials are brought into the right perspective when we realize the sovereign plan of God beneath it all. How the thought of God being in control takes the sting out of our tragedies and out of difficulties which come upon the people of God. Romans 8 verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to His purpose. And here's the early church, and relatively small in number, yet they had grasped the truth of these words. And although they thought upon the worst deeds that man could do to the Son of Man, yet underneath it all, they could see the wonderful sovereign plan of God to the salvation of the lost. Their petition was brought to a conclusion by seeking God to take a dealing with their oppressors, and that glory would be given to the name of their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And men and women, as we come to seek the Lord, the same God in prayer tonight, we would do well to note the prayer of this people. their focus, where it is, what it's upon, how they pray. God, the Holy Spirit, has given us a glimpse into this prayer meeting. We haven't recorded all prayer meetings. We haven't even recorded all that was said in the prayer meetings. But here we are given a little glimpse on what the people prayed. I want you to secondly consider the presence of God. Upon the day of Pentecost, the presence of the Lord was manifest to them by the sound of the rushing mighty wind from heaven, and by the sight of cloven tongues resting upon each of them, as of cloven tongues resting upon each of them. The presence of the Lord was certainly in their midst. And indeed, this is what the Lord has promised, where he says, where the two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And listen, we quote that verse, and we can memorize it well, but do we really believe it? Do we really realize it? There are those, and dare I say it, many of God's people would be in that number, and as they come into the house of the Lord on the Sabbath, they don't realize. They're not really conscious that the Lord is in the midst. That's something that's lacking in our land today, is a God consciousness, even amongst the people of God. You see, that's surely why we come. We come to worship the Lord. We come to meet with the risen Lord. I tell you, if you were conscious of the reality of those little words that we've quoted, then there would be less dragging of the heels on the Sabbath day. Our preparedness would not be in question for the worship of God. Why? Because we're coming into the presence of the God of heaven to have a meeting with him. God was in the midst of this prayer meeting, and his presence was demonstrated this time by a different manner. Verse 31 again. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. When they had prayed, or in the very process of praying, suddenly the place where they were assembled was shaken. Can you imagine such a shaking? Can you think of what it would be like if God was to indicate his presence in our meetings by the very foundations of the building shaking? What a prayer meeting that would be. There were no sleepers sleeping then. There would be no wayward thoughts then, children. You see, our attention will be fixed and will be captured to be upon the Lord. There are other occasions, of course, in the Word where we come across this thought of the shaking of God. How can we forget Paul and Silas? In Acts 16, in that prison cell, the early release scheme hadn't taken effect yet. They were still in it. And yet at midnight they prayed and they sang unto the Lord. At midnight God made his presence known by the shaking of that very jail. For he sent an earthquake. Acts 16:26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and every man's bands were loosed. This earthquake didn't merely move the foundations of the jailhouse. It didn't even merely open the doors of every prison or loosen their bands. It was something that shook the very foundations of the heart of the jailer, for he came in trembling, shaking, crying out, "What must I do to be saved?" An earthquake makes people think. And we've had recent times, of course, of Nepal and the devastation and the outcome of such an earthquake. And, you know, it made a man think when it happened at Calvary. Matthew 27:54. Now, when the centurion and they that were with him, the centurion was over 100 soldiers. When they were there watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." It was a realization. It made them think. And God shook the place where his people were assembled in prayer. It spoke of his presence, but it also signified that their praying was heard. And it was also a symbol of the shaking that the world was going to know through the ministry of these apostles, just this little band that were sent out by Christ. Dear people, may God be pleased to shake us up. Do we not need it? To shake up this area out of its slumber and its sleep and unto himself, to turn this place upside down for the Lord. He is still the same wonderful working God. His power hasn't diminished. His presence is still the same. And it is his presence that we desire and we would pray for. But let me take you a little further and let me show you the powerful outcome. What was the result of such a prayer meeting? What was the outcome of these people praying? Let me bring you to our text again. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they spake the word of God with boldness. They're all filled with the Holy Ghost. Many of them would have been assembled together maybe on the day of Pentecost. They had known the Holy Ghost coming upon them that day. They had known that infilling of the Spirit of God. But again, here in this meeting, there's a definite infilling of the Spirit of God. The infilling, the indwelling of the Spirit, it occurs at a point of conversion. You and I were saved. The Spirit of God indwelt us. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Our bodies, we know from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, are the temples of the Holy Ghost. What know ye not? The apostle says that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. These bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. He indwelt us at the point of conversion. But you see, this is speaking not of the indwelling, but of the infilling of the Spirit. And that needs to be on a daily occurrence. Be not filled with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. These people were full of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, but they are also filled again on this day. Is that what we desire? If ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, then how much more shall their heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Is it something that you maybe would seek the Lord for every morning before you go out? Lord, fill me with thy Spirit today that I may walk in the Spirit. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And I want you to notice it says that they were all filled. It wasn't just Peter and John. It wasn't just the apostles or those that would do the preaching. All the people of God gathered in that prayer meeting were full of the Holy Ghost. Here's the church. How much more do we not need to be Spirit-filled men and women of God in this evil day and generation in which we live? What else was the outcome? Their prayer was answered. You turn back to 29, verse 29. You were here, we have part of the prayer. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Verse 31, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God, listen, with boldness. Their prayer was answered. You know, they didn't go down to prayer and say, Lord, quieten down our boys. Quieten down our preachers. They're too heavy in the preaching. Lord, cause them to a wee bit of compromise to come into their hearts. No, they prayed, Lord, fill them with the Holy Ghost that they may speak with boldness. And the Lord answered their prayer. Because these men, they were able to speak forth the word of God with boldness. Boldness. And Paul knew the importance of that. You turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. It comes right after the armour of heaven that's spoken about for the child of God. You look at verse 19, as for me, well, let me read verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. There's commentators that will bring you, guide you through the various pieces of armour, and there's six pieces and so forth. But you know, I believe that's another piece, prayer. We pray the armour on. And he goes on, he says, as for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul's desiring that God might help him to preach boldly. The greatest curse of our land is the apostasy. Because it doesn't preach the word of God with boldness. In some ways, you couldn't hear them behind a wet paper bag. No boldness with them. And they preach their messages according to their hearers. According to who's in the congregation. The early church practiced no such deception. They preach with boldness. Bishop Hall said, there's three things that make no difference. The grave, we all must go. The judgment bar, we all must stand before it. And the pulpit, there ought to be no difference. He means there ought to be no difference in the way the gospel is preached, no matter who's there. May God help me to preach with boldness, without fear or favor. And you pray that for every minister in the Free Church. That we would not be conditioned with compromise of today. And you and I, we've all been there. We've all sat in these places where the funerals are taking place, and there's nothing. And maybe you go back, and there's something, frustrated something the next time. And it's because of who's in the congregation. We need to preach the word with boldness, without fear or favor, no matter of who is there in the congregation. God answered their prayer. They preached with boldness. And you'll notice that being filled with the Spirit, they knew real power in their ministry. Look at verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. They spoke about the resurrection. You see, you can't have a resurrection without a death. What did they preach? They preached about the death and the rising again of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their preaching was of the message of atonement, of blood atonement. And the hope that men and women need to hear, and that because Christ died and rose again, so all who put their faith and trust in him shall also rise. He is but the first fruits, and his people are merely following on. Oh, that our prayer meetings would render such an outcome. That's the outcome of this prayer meeting. They're all filled with the Spirit. They went forth and preached with boldness, and they had power in their ministry. And they preached the cross, and they preached the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the grace of God was upon them all. Oh, that our prayer meetings would know such a shaking, that the grace of God would be known to be upon us as the body of his people. May we pray to that end. May we pray for such an Holy Ghost prayer meetings as this church witnessed. For I tell you, we need it. We need it. Here is the most important meeting of the whole church week. Don't ever forget that.
And that's why we need to see these seats filled. That's the most important prayer meeting. For here's the power. Here's where the power is for the rest of the work.
And may God be pleased to come upon us in such power in these days. And even tonight, as we go down to prayer, we might know the help of the Holy Spirit in our praying. I trust that the Lord will bless and encourage your heart, even through a little word about that prayer meeting that was shaken in Acts chapter 4.